WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. East Coast, West Coast, and points in between have been slammed with severe weather from a nor'easter to a confirmed microburst that ripped off roofs and knocked over semi-trucks in Tempe, Arizona.
We're lucky. There's a lot of plate glass here that was just flying around. When I was trying to close a door, I saw a huge piece of sheet metal just flying in the air, like maybe 2 feet wide.
President Trump is back at the White House after yesterday's hostage prisoner swap between Israel and Hamas. What's next for the peace plan? CBS's Nancy Cordes.
One of the biggest questions of all is who will pay to rebuild war-torn Gaza? Regional experts estimate it will cost $53 billion.
Speaking of money, the president told reporters on Air Force One on the return from Israel.
Now with tariffs, I think we're the richest country in the world, actually, the United States. We're taking in hundreds of billions of dollars.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. The city of Wausau will have a new poet laureate. Mai Cao Hang is a graduate of UW-Stevens Point. She says before her college courses in creative writing, she wasn't fond of the subject.
Through those courses, I was able to see like the beauty in like creating poetry in general.
Hang says most of her creative writing experience stems from her college courses. She says her professors sparked her interest in writing poetry.
They would always like encourage not just me, but like the whole class in general, like the poetry that like we read and like having us write, having time in class to like write about what you want and like sharing your poetry with the class in general really sparked that in me.
Hang says what appealed to her about the poet laureate position traces to her heritage as a member of the Hmong community.
It's just a very huge honor because, you know, giving back to, like, the community and, like, since my family did come here in, like, 2004, and Wausau was, like, a huge support for my family, not just my family, but, like, the Hmong community in general. So standing before, like, the public and showing me as, like, a young Hmong person and a female, too, at that, it would be, like, a very, like, huge honor.
Hang will be the third Wausau Poet Laureate. The poet laureate serves a 2-year term, and they are tasked with representing Wausau and the literary arts by creating and presenting original works at some city events, including city council meetings. The poet laureate also participates in the annual Central Wisconsin Book Festival at the Marathon County Public Library. If approved by the city council, Hang will serve until 2027. The city council will meet tonight at 6:30 p.m. where they will vote on Hang's appointment. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Brewers reload. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers host the Dodgers in Game 2 of the National League Championship Series tonight. The Crew losing last night 2-1 in a tight ball game. The Dodgers' Freddie Freeman hit a high-flying home run to right field off of Milwaukee's Chad Patrick, top of the sixth, and talked about winning Game 1 of the series.
Getting on the road in an environment and taking the first one, it's huge. You can't understate that at all, just kind of how we did it in Philly. And to get the first one, and we obviously feeling pretty good, so hopefully we can score some more runs tomorrow.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Freddie Freeman's been a Brewer killer for a while, so hopefully he'll oversleep tomorrow or something.
First pitch tonight is 7:08. NBA. The Bucks host the Oklahoma City Thunder at Fiserv Forum. Tip-off time tonight, 7 o'clock. The Bucks are 3-0 so far in the preseason. NFL former Packers linebacker Za'Darius Smith, now with the Eagles, has announced his retirement. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs around 60 degrees. Rain tonight, a low around 45. Mostly cloudy and highs in the upper 50s on Wednesday. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, we'll be in the mid-40s. Thursday, a chance of rain and a high around 62.
Currently, 46 degrees. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Doloff would agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trigby? She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, farmers and the Trump tariffs, how are they faring? Will Westmoreland will join us in hour number 2. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, October 14th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, or wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening to us or watching us on all the various platforms out there, podcasts, YouTube, Facebook. However you got here, we appreciate you getting your day started with us on this Tuesday, where you might be a little more sleep deprived than normal. So I got a question for you, as well as for producer Parker Olson down in Madison Studio A2. Do you understand now why the Brewers were able to beat the Dodgers 6 times in July when their ace Blake Snell was out with an injury? Because I do. The Brewers lineup all understands this guy's good.
Yeah.
There's just no two ways around it. We were Snell shocked, if you were. The Brewer, I can't even call them the Brewers hitters. The Brewers batters were shell shocked by Blake Snell.
Yeah.
Dodgers take game one of the National League Championship Series 2-1. Were it not for an unbelievable double play by the Brewers and a near comeback in the ninth inning, all we'd be talking about is a very nearly perfect game by the Dodger pitcher. That was very frustrating to watch.
I don't even know if I can say that it was frustrating, because it was just such good pitching, to be honest with you.
It really was. Like, you were like, you can't solve this guy.
No,
you know?
There were a couple of batters for the Brewers that were frustrating. Like Christian Yelich was frustrating.
Yes.
He has been cold pretty much all postseason, and was clearly not seeing the ball. But I mean, Snell was just doing whatever he wanted. He was, I've talked about
the metaphor he always used. He was painting. He was painting the canvas. So wherever he wanted the stroke to go, it went, you know, whereas so many other times you see a pitcher thinks it's going there, but it goes over there. And for Snell, it was like, nope, I want it to go there. And it did. And
there
it was really something. See, the thing, he was injured and not able to play back in July. We swept all 6 games from the Dodgers because they were all in 2 tight bunches, 2-3 game series in the month of July.
Yeah.
And he was out during that time. So the good news is he can't pitch all the games. So we got him in that one. And like I said, he pitched 8 innings. He faced the minimum.
Yeah.
It wasn't a perfect game because there was a base runner who then promptly got picked off. But other than that, 24 men up, 24 men erase. And you can debate whether he should have been allowed to come out for the last 3. Now, again, it wouldn't have been a perfect game, but still, you get 24 up and basically 24 down. That's pretty good stuff. You know,
it's very good. I think it's really promising for the Brewers to have seen that they can get hits, because going into tonight If they didn't get absolutely anything going, that would have been really hard, but they got a little bit of something going there, and they showed themselves that that Dodger bullpen might be where you can get to guys. So this should probably cement the Brewers' approach of take a lot of pitches, put the ball in play against those starting pitchers so you can finally get to that bullpen and really get some work in.
So let's talk about that double play. You ever heard, I'm sure you've heard the phrase ground into a double play. Usually you ground into a double play to the shortstop or the second baseman. So the ball travels, you know, 150 feet or something like this.
Yeah.
We're going to describe to you now grounding into a double play at 400 feet. So we're in the fourth inning. There's one out. The Dodgers have the bases loaded. And Max Muncy hits a fly ball to center. Should have been a grand slam.
Yeah.
It was that close to a grand slam. Sal Frelick, who I'm still not sure why he was playing center field, but he reached just high enough for the ball to glance off his mitt, hit the wall, and then back to him. So it wasn't a catch because it deflected off the wall. It was a live ball. So as a result, and this gets, if you're not a baseball rule follower, I apologize, it's a little in the weeds, but because he didn't catch it, it bounced off the wall. It wasn't a matter of the runner tagging up at third and then needing to be tagged out at home.
Yeah.
Because the bases were loaded, this was a force play, no different than if he'd have ground a shortstop. And so Frelick throws home. It got to William Contreras a split second ahead of the runner. And so it counts as a force out. He didn't have to tag the runner. It's a force out. And then Contreras had the presence of mind to see that the runner on second froze. Yeah. Froze! And he just starts jogging up the third baseline, daring the runner, ready to throw to the third baseman, but never needs to, steps on third base, and it's a double play. You know, just the way you design it, an 8-2 or 8-6-2, two unassisted double play. Nothing to it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And there we'll always have that image of Sal Frelick. They cut to him afterwards, right after, and he's got this look like, what? What just happened?
Huh?
Was that a catch? And that's what a lot of people thought. They thought, well, is that a catch? No, it's not a catch. And the left field umpire got it right away. And then the umpiring crew got the rest of it right.
Shout out to those umpires. I have been very vocal on.
I was still vocal last night. Those balls and strikes calls.
It was a bad
zone.
Good
Lord.
It was a bad
zone. Bring on the robots. But yes, they got that one right. It was actually one of the rare times. I am a big time Brian Anderson fan.
Oh my God. Yes.
Thrilled that he's calling this for TBS.
Yes.
But he got that wrong on multiple levels. He got the catch wrong. He got the number of outs wrong at one point. And I understand. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes.
I mean, it was confusing as all get out, but I was more frustrated with the camera directing because they didn't ever show the out at third for like 2 minutes.
Yeah. You had to come back from the break. Again, it's one of those things that you don't appreciate certain things and you take them for granted until you see other people do it.
Yeah.
Really good TV directing, especially with live sports.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in those trucks and those control rooms. And I mean, you have to be ready. You're looking at 30 different monitors and you have to know what camera to call. Yeah. And I mean, we talk about air traffic controllers and that's life or death, but I'm saying for the same kind of mental speed at which you have to make these decisions. Mm-hmm. I definitely appreciate it more. There's a lot of things about this TBS crew that make me a little crazy with some of the graphics and things like that. So I'm not, I would save that for a sports talk station where I've got 2 hours to talk about the game, but we ain't got that. No. So I'll just say it's been great to watch. And I'll be watching all nine innings again tonight. I don't even feel tired as a result of the game. It was actually kind of a nice break. Frustrating as all get out. We're like, oh my God, he's facing the minimum number. He's facing, what was it? He faced 15, 18, 21, 24. It was crazy. But like I said, he can't pitch every day.
No, he can't. And I do think, like I said, I think there's a little bit of promise coming into tonight for the Brewers. I'm confident. I don't feel any worse about the series than I did already. I'm a little worried about our bullpen just for our like stamina standpoint, but I think we're okay. Mm-hmm.
The ninth inning, the Brewers actually got the bases loaded.
They juiced them.
And we're threatening. And at one point, it was Bryce Turang that nearly got hit, got out of the way.
Yeah.
And he, look, some people, it is not human nature to stand there and let a ball coming 100 miles an hour at you hit you.
Yeah.
Now, some batters, I mean, it's just ingrained. They excel at take the hit. And Bryce Turang would be the first to say if he could take it back, he would not have gotten out of the way of one particular pitch. But, you know, you also risk having it be called intentional.
Possibly the only time in my life that I will ever say this, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, it would have been awesome if Wilson Contreras was a Brewer for a second there. Because he would have taken that straight off the chest, and then he would have charged the mound and probably got ejected. But you know what? He would have had the hit by pitch, and the run would have scored.
It would have been much more exciting that way. And again, that's not one to dwell on because that's hardly a way that you want to win the game. But the fact of the matter is the Brewers hitters were able to get to the bullpen, and they've been able to get to Dodger starting pitching otherwise, you know, throughout the course of the season. So, you know, we shake this one off. We're coming off that 5-game series against the Cubs. And, you know, so get a good night's sleep in your own bed tonight and do one more at American Family Field. Coverage begins at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh. We're seeing Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Again, same time. And then there's a day off tomorrow. The series moves to Los Angeles after that. I spent a lot of time in the earlier part of the game when, again, it was just, you know, perfect pitching and the Brewers going down in order. And I thought, oh my God, the people at TBS and Major League Baseball must be tearing their hair out over how did Milwaukee get in here? Our ratings are going to be terrible. Everybody's going to be talking about that double play today.
Oh my God.
And I think they're going to get a few more viewers tonight than they would have otherwise.
Yeah, they might have. I just read something that the runner who was on first with Tommy Edman, when he went back to first base because he thought it was caught, he actually passed Max Muncy. So that also would have been an out. So technically speaking, it could have been a triple play.
Hadn't been one out, it would have been a triple play.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been even more exciting. Tony reminds us on YouTube that Cleveland clinched their playoff appearance on a hit by pitch. First time in history that had ever been done. He says the double play was memorable. And he goes on to write, I genuinely thought Pat and Parker's eyes would be red and bloodshot from last night. It was just too exciting. I was very thrilled. It's the league championship series. Yeah. You know, we're playing for the pennant. It's great. Freddie Peralta has been named as the starter for tonight. So it won't be a full bullpen game, we hope, you know, but we've seen starting pitching chased too early in the past. So
had another good first.
Everybody in the bullpen got to be ready.
Yeah.
There's just no two ways around it, you know. So that's where we go from here. Again, it's just one game in the book. So far, you know, 97 wins in the regular season, 3 wins in the postseason. So we're at 100 wins, and you still just got to win 8 more. You just got to, you know, you got to win 4 of the next 6 against the Dodgers, and then 4 more against either the Blue Jays or Seattle. And it really appears at the moment like it's going to be Seattle because they are just beating up on Toronto in the first 2 games.
On the road, series. Too.
On the road, yes. Do you watch any of the part of the game where yesterday was Thanksgiving in Canada? You know, because of the metric system, the way the calendar works and all that.
Yeah.
And the play-by-play guy is carving a turkey live on air. He's giving John Schmoltz a lesson in how to carve a turkey as he's calling play-by-play. And social media was great that way because you had some people that were so offended, like they felt so disrespected, like our team is playing for the playoffs and they're carving a turkey, and other people going, this guy's the greatest, he can call a play-by-play game on network TV and demonstrate how you want to carve the entire turkey breast off first and then slice it just so. and I at the time I had the TV down, I was doing something else, and I'm like, is it Canadian Thanksgiving or something? Why else would there be a turkey in the booth?
Yeah.
Come to find out that's exactly why. But if I were the play-by-play guy, I don't know that I would call for that bit. I don't know that I could do it because you only have to mess up one play.
I mean, that's true.
But he did it.
He did it. Good. He did it very well. And dare I say, broadcasts are better when there is food involved on air.
Yes. And it all started with John Madden and the turducken.
Yeah.
It's just it's how it is done. All right. We'll tell you what else is coming up on the program here just a bit. We'll cover a wide range of temperatures around the state as well. That's all coming up. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Here's.
Roger in Stevens Point on Facebook gets it right. Toronto fans should not panic. He says the Blue Jays won 4 out of 6 against Seattle during the regular season, including a sweep at Seattle, which is why you play every game, and it's why you play all the games and every inning of them. So that series will roll on as well. Hey, you can sign up for Civic Media's new daily newsletter filled with show highlights, lots of links, and more. Civic Media Today. Substack.com is the place to go sign up. civicmediatoday.substack.com. Get that as well as the one that I'm sure you're already getting, which is the daily newsletter from Up North News. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more about that. In today's edition, of all the places that you could do a fall weekend getaway to a cabin, some group somewhere did a survey, because that's what the internet is now, nothing but surveys, the 10 best this, the 12 best that. And of all the places to do a fall cabin getaway, several destinations are in Wisconsin. Find out what they are by being part of our newsletter. There's also an article there about the proposed data center for Port Washington that outlines some of the issues and some of the public opposition to it. Again, for that and more, sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Remember, you can join the show as well here. The phones are working once again. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So by all means, feel free to steer the conversation with your comments or questions that way, or get on the Civic Media app. And that way you can use the text feature, or you can use the voice note feature. to record us a little note as well. And of course, you can get in the comment sections on the Up North News or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages. And you can also email the show radio@upnorthnewswi.com, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Why might you do that? Because there's a lot of people who are commenting on our question of the week, and it is all about the test drilling that was done for potential mining in the North Woods for zinc and copper and gold and other precious metals, and whether that's something that should never be allowed because you just can't mine safely, or it should be allowed because you can mine safely. You just need, you know, the right safeguards in place, or drill, baby, drill. You know, these companies know what's best. Let them just do whatever it is that they want to do to the North Woods. You definitely have thoughts on that. There's been, as you might not be surprised to hear, that overwhelmingly at this point, the response is from people who do not want to see any mining up north. But there is a fair sampling of answers that say it can be done if you've got proper safeguards in place. It's very rare that we always put up what you would consider, I don't know, the mega response, and we don't get a lot of that. But every so often one's comes through with some colorful commentary. Tony on YouTube says, no more mining, please and thank you. If it has to happen, I want strict regulations. He says, I know Pat is very anti-regulations. That's sarcasm after our commentary yesterday about drilling, or about regulations versus, you know, what are regulations? Regulations are protections for the environment, for you, the consumer, for you, the employee, and more. Coming up on the program later, we're going to be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area about things going on in Wisconsin politics. And Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom will join us live from Capitol Hill, where things continue to be very, very quiet about the federal government shutdown. There's no movement right now to do anything about it. And that's not what Democrats want. They stand ready to come back into session anytime when Republicans are ready, because they need Democratic votes. And if they want those Democratic votes, they have to make some moves on health care. And Republicans say, nope, we would rather just continue to, you know, stick it to people. And they are. I saw a story this morning about a food bank that was opening up and getting busier in Highland Falls, New York. Now, Highland Falls, New York wouldn't mean anything to you unless I told you it's the home of the West Point Military Academy. So, yeah, basically the, you know, the cradle of the United States Army. Which I know well, having I had a daughter that lived there for a few years, and it's a lovely little community, but it is one centered on having a competent federal government that, you know, keeps the paychecks coming, and it's not, and you've got a president and Congress that don't seem to give a damn. And so you've got food banks opening there, and then closer to home, you've got food share and WIC benefits that may not be fully funded next month if the shutdown continues. An article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday from Molly Beck and Lawrence Andrea says that food assistance programs in Wisconsin may not be funded in November, according to a letter from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to state officials. More than 700,000 Wisconsin residents depend on those two programs, WIC and SNAP. The letter says, if the current lapse in appropriations continues, there will be insufficient funds to pay full November SNAP benefits to 42 million individuals across the nation. And again, it seems to me that's the kind of thing that you would want to avoid if you were, you know, president of the United States. But, you know, Mr. Art of the Deal continues to play around the globe as if he has somehow solved all of Middle East peace, like he's never seen Camp David and Oslo and everything else. Don't get me wrong, the new ceasefire is a wonderful thing. Having the hostages home is a wonderful thing. But stop with the mission accomplished banner. There's a lot of work to be done yet in the Middle East, but there's a lot more work to be done home, at home first. And maybe that's where the focus ought to be when you've got people who are literally facing the inability to feed their families. Temperatures around the state this morning, quite a range. In Hayward right now, they're at 28 degrees. Meanwhile, down in Racine, 57 degrees. You'll get your local forecast throughout the day on your local Civic Media station. But coming up next, we'll have the Midwest Farm Report. That'll be followed by today's history lesson. And that'll include, well, we'll kick things off with a little Thomas Dolby. That's coming up after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For some, the hunt has already begun. Others are getting ready. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. And if you're successful in your hunt, you might be thinking about how you can use that meat. One of our Wisconsin meat science experts gives you suggestions next.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Dr. Jeff Sindelar is one of our University Extension meat specialists, and he says for those of you that are looking to extend the life of the meat that you harvest, jerky is a very good option. And he's got some suggestions about the basic do's if you want to make your own jerky.
Slice jerky to a good thickness, typically about a quarter inch thick is ideal. And a lot of people like to take whole pieces of meat, put them into a freezer for a little bit to firm things up. And then slice, and if you have a really good sharp knife, you can absolutely do this by hand. You just have to be a little careful and take your time. And then get some salt, get some sugar, maybe some spices if you like maybe some black pepper, maybe some red pepper, maybe some ginger or garlic. Mix those with the jerky and allow that jerky to absorb that. And then you want to go through some cooking and drying process.
Dr. Jeff Sindelar, University Extension meat specialist, with some suggestions on what you can do with that harvested meat. Jerky, a good option. And don't forget, there's all kinds of flavors. Just take a look at what's available at your local grocery store. One very popular flavor, teriyaki. And that's simply using soy sauce.
We're number one! We're number one!
The Pioneer brand 4-seedless corn team beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
And another case of high-path avian influenza has been detected in a backyard poultry flock in Racine County. The birds have all been depopulated to prevent the spread of the disease. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection reminding all livestock owners and anyone that owns birds to practice good biosecurity measures as migratory birds pass over Wisconsin as they head south. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food news on a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke. Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 98.9 WXCO.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs around 60 degrees. Rain tonight, a low around 45. Mostly cloudy and highs in the upper 50s on Wednesday. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, will be in the mid-40s. Thursday, a chance of rain and a high around 62.
Currently, 46 degrees.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday for the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are. And then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allbowl Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome UW Cinematheque programmer and host of the Lifers podcast, Ben Reiser. And then comedy sports director Mike Kauth joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Got to give credit to Roger and Stevens Point jumping on Facebook and just sending us one word. Science.
Science.
Knowing full well that we would be hearing from Tom Robertson, who was born in London 67 years ago today. His stage name became Thomas Dolby. And She Blinded Me with Science became a big hit in the early 1980s. Welcome to today's history lesson. We got a whole lot of people doing things on this day. There's Chuck Yeager, who on this day in 1947 became the first person to exceed the speed of sound. There was Martin Luther King Jr., who on this day in 1964 won the Nobel Peace Prize for combating racial inequality through nonviolence. It's kind of a reverse of the guy who wants a peace prize now for trying to, you know, exacerbate racial inequality through government-sanctioned violence. But give him a Nobel Peace Prize, right? And on this day in 2003, the Steve Bartman incident took place at Wrigley Field in Chicago. Young Mr. Parker Olson here, not yet born you were born.
I was a couple months old.
And yet you chuckled. You're familiar with the Bartman incident.
Oh, yeah. How could you not be familiar with a little bit of Cubs misery? Come on.
It marks the day, October 14, 2003, in a postseason game between the Cubs and the Florida Marlins, when a spectator attempting to catch a fly ball affected the outcome of the game. I think a lot of it was because of the reaction from the Cubs outfielder, Moises Alou, who was very frustrated that Bartman and other fans, you know, tried to catch the ball. And then, remember all the nice things I just said about TV directors and TV crews?
Yeah.
I take it all back when it comes to Bartman, that they chose back then to just put the camera on him and make an instant villain out of him. And his life was ruined for years and years and years as a result of that.
Can you imagine if that happened today with social media?
Oh, my God. At the time, people didn't know. He was able to go back to his kind of nothing job and just kind of quietly do that and do nothing else. Well, his job would have been out there, his address would have been out there, and everything else. So, I don't know. Let's see. From Alicia here says, back to Chuck Yeager, I may need to find the right stuff again. I wanted to be an astronaut because of that movie. As good a book, is the book better than the movie better than the book? It's one of those rare times where you're both right. You know, the right stuff is just it with Chuck Yeager and so much more. So anyway, yeah, Steve Bartman, 2003, that was already. On this day in 1983, Cyndi Lauper released her first solo album, She's So Unusual, and MTV took to it right away. And how could it not? I mean, the outfits and the colors and, you know, it's got girls. They just want to have fun.
They do just want to.
Oh, yeah. She could not have timed that better with MTV just coming to the air as well. All right. We talked about people doing interesting things on this date. Here's a story for you. On this day in 1912 in Milwaukee, former President Theodore Roosevelt was shot and wounded by saloon keeper John Schrank. Thankfully, inside Roosevelt's coat pocket was a glasses case and a folded 50-page manuscript of his remarks. Teddy Roosevelt did not give short speeches. With the bullet wound still fresh in his chest, Roosevelt delivered his scheduled speech at the Old Milwaukee Auditorium before seeking medical care. because as a hunter, he was certain the bullet hadn't pierced his lung because he wasn't coughing up blood. He started by saying, "I don't know whether you fully understand that I have just been shot, but it takes more than that to kill a bull moose." And he went on to speak for the next 90 minutes. The bullet was never removed. There's a story.
I didn't know that was in Milwaukee.
That was in Milwaukee. Yes, it was. Yep. Let's see. 1957, the number one hit in the country was by the Everly Brothers. Wake up, little Susie, wake up. On this day in 1966, Grace Slick made her first stage appearance with Jefferson Airplane at the Fillmore West in San Francisco. On this day in 1967, after 15 weeks at number one, the Beatles album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was knocked out of the top spot by Bobby Gentry's Ode to Billy Joel. I almost said Billy Joel because of the documentary that I was watching this week. Ode to Billy Joel. Billy Joel did not jump off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Though, if you'd watch the documentary, you could see how that might happen. But we'll talk about that more with Greg on Friday. Happy birthday to R&B singer Karen White. Today, she turned 60 years old. As her hit Romantic, she had a few hits in the early 1990s. John Dean, the White House counselor to President Richard Nixon, who was kind of the lead whistleblower on the Watergate scandal, he is 87 years old today. And still really can't believe that he's seen all these things that are worse than Watergate. We thought we'd been at the dark part back in 73, 74, at which point Trump and others said, hold my beer. Let's see. Happy birthday to Justin Hayward, frontman of the Moody Blues. He turns 79 today. It's a bittersweet birthday because with the death last week of his bandmate John Lodge, Justin Hayward is the only remaining member of the Moody Blues classic lineup from the 1960s and 70s. Happy birthday to Cliff Richard. The British music legend is 85 years old today. In the days when you could pick a really good stage name like Cliff Richard, because some manager would go, "What's your name again?" "Harold Webb." "Yeah, that's not going to work. You're not Harold Webb anymore. You're Cliff Richard." And he went on to have a gazillion hits, mostly in the UK. Let's see. Happy birthday to Usher. That's his birth name. His name is Usher Raymond IV, and he was born in Dallas 47 years ago today. This is the anniversary of the birth of George Floyd. He was born this day in 1973. On this day in 1972, the number one song was by Michael Jackson, a song about a boy and his pet rat.
A what now?
His pet rat. Seriously. Weren't we just saying yesterday how 7 years later, Michael Jackson, or no, 4 years later, was doing the Off the Wall album and finally had his own creative control? It might have been because he had to do schlocky songs about a boy and his pet rat.
Yeah.
Just saying. Okay.
That's
Here's a good birthday. Okay. Natalie Maines from the Chicks. She is 51 years old today. Natalie Maines again, 51, born in Lubbock, Texas. And again, there will always be a part of me that feels completely cheated at the far right losing their minds and again, canceling the Chicks and then having the gall to complain about cancel culture. But let's go back to 1974, talking about country music. The Nashville veterans were just worried, so worried about the sanctity of country music because a Foreigner had just won Female Vocalist of the Year at the Country Music Association Awards. Who won that CMA award for Female Vocalist of the Year in 1974 that caused all this angst, all this existential concern about country music? It was that rebel, Olivia Newton-John. So, okay, that's fine. Let's see, we got another country music story for you. This day in 2006, Eric Church was opening at Madison Square Garden for Rascal Flatts. But Eric Church ran past his allotted time and played a little Crazy Train. Not exactly, again, a staple of country music. And he was kicked off the tour. And he was replaced with a talented newcomer by the name of Taylor Swift.
That's crazy.
You just never know where that break is going to come from. It's like my story last week about Glenn Frey and his diverticulitis and how it launched my TV career. You just never know what's going to happen on any given day. What, Mr. Olson, is on the national day calendar for today?
Today we have got National Dessert Day. I'm a big fan of this day.
Oh, big fan. Do you have, if I just say National Dessert Day, you get one thing, go.
Oh, what's that cake called? It's a like Butterfinger Tort, I think.
Oh, it's very good. That's not a bad choice.
Very good. What about you?
Let's see. The first thing that came to mind was pumpkin pie, but that's because I had some over the weekend. Cherry pie would be right up in there as well. And, you know, there's almost anything that's related to chocolate, you know, a hot fudge brownie sundae, something like that.
Yeah. Can't go wrong.
There you go. I'm spoiling my after show breakfast. Oh, well. So that's for National Dessert Day. What did we miss? You can use the text line, the voice note feature, the comment sections in YouTube and Facebook. And what is the quintessential favorite dessert for National Dessert Day of the Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News radio audience? That's a long-winded question. What's your favorite dessert?
What's your favorite dessert, guys?
Let us know. It's National Dessert Day. You get one thing that you want to have on this day. What's it going to be? What else on the calendar today?
We have also got Face Your Fears Day. Pat, are there any fears you want to face today?
No, because I don't want to face them because they're a fear. That's why I'm running in the other direction from them.
But it's Face Your Fears Day. You turn around, face them.
No. Let's see. There's two different types. There's the kind of fear that you actually could or would face. Let's say, for example, I've never done I've never been in a play. I've never done any kind of like live theater or whatever. Sure. That's one, you know, where I always kind of like waffled. Maybe one day I will face my fears and I will do that, you know, playing the old grouchy man in a play. I know, typecasting, right? And then there's fears I would never face. I'd never understand why people jump out of a perfectly good airplane. You know, so when you're like, face your fear. No, not gonna. Actually, here Tony nailed it. He says he loves, he both loves and fears lava cake. So he's combining two national days in there.
You know what?
Lava cake is good. He says my wife loves carrot cake. Tony, I hate to break this to you, you're wrong, and so is she. Nobody loves carrot cake. They love the frosting that goes on carrot. Carrot cake is merely a conduit for that. The same goes with pumpkin bars. You know that very sugary buttercream frosting that goes on those things.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, you put that on, you know, old potato chips and that'll still taste good.
A good frosting can save anything.
Good frosting can save. It's kind of like a good gravy, you know, can do the same thing. Tony quickly responds, no, she will eat it without the frosting.
Oh, so she's just crazy.
Yeah. And Alicia, I understand there are soldiers who jump out of planes after working on a military aircraft. I don't know. I don't know why you would do that. Again, perfectly good airplane. Don't do it. We didn't ask about your fear. What fears do you have to face?
Fears do I have to face? I feel fine. I don't know.
You don't fear anything?
I mean, sometimes
I mean, somebody could walk in with like a snake or I don't know.
Something. Yeah, okay. Sometimes I fear you.
Oh, see, now that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which takes us to our last national day today,
it's National I Love You Day. I love you, Pat.
I know. Coming up, we will have in our 7 o'clock hour much more covering the world of news, and in our 8 o'clock hour, Dan Schaefer and Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Don't be afraid. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Struggling with mental illness or supporting someone who is? NAMI Northwoods offers compassion and support for those affected by mental health conditions. Mental illness isn't a weakness, it's a medical condition. Recovery is possible. Call or text 715-432-0180 or visit NamiNorthwoods.org. In a crisis, call 988, the 24/7 suicide and crisis line, staffed by caring Wisconsinites. NAMI Northwoods, because no one should face mental illness alone.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 15th, a pivotal case in the future of the Voting Rights Act will be heard in the U.S. Supreme Court. It pits the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause against 60 years of court precedent and the 15th Amendment. Voting rights protections for minority Americans are at stake. Since 2013, the Roberts Court has struck down the VRA's preclearance oversight of discriminatory states, and last year made it harder for minority voters to prove racial gerrymandering. Now, the VRA's protections from racial gerrymandering could be eliminated entirely. Louisiana v. Calais is a continuation of a racial gerrymandering case for which lower courts mandated two majority-minority congressional districts under Section 2. Louisiana's population is 33% African American, but as of 2022, in only one congressional district out of six could black voters have a realistic chance of electing a candidate of their choice. Quote, non-African American voters claim the majority-minority districts discriminate against them under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The state of Louisiana argues that race-based redistricting, including under the Voting Rights Act, is therefore unconstitutional. We'll discuss the 14th and 15th Amendments and the Equal Protection Clause in our next report. Oral arguments will be streamed beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We have a link at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
We will have more with you coming up in just a little bit, but first, we're very happy to welcome back into studio, sitting across the table from me, the Executive Director of the Women's Community, Jane Graham Jennings. And Jane, thank you for coming back in.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It is the month of October, and that means it is... I will ask you about this, but it's really something to focus on for 12 months a year. But it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month here in the month of October, and got some events going on here this month. But let me ask you about domestic violence and where we stand as a community, as a state, as a country. As I said, it's a 12-month-a-year process for you and others within your organization. If you were to have a report card, and I don't think, you know, not specifically A to F, but just generally, what direction are we going in when it comes to trying to limit and eliminate domestic violence in our communities?
Well, unfortunately, I've been in this work almost 30 years, and the needle has barely moved. That's why we still need an awareness month, because there is still significant lack of understanding about what domestic violence is, what the root cause is, and how it is that people can hurt other people that they claim to love. So a very sad statistic. End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin publishes a homicide report annually about the number of domestic violence-related homicides. And in 2024, there were 110 people in the state of Wisconsin who died because of domestic violence. And that's the highest number that it's ever been since they started publishing the report. So as a group, as all of the statewide coalition of programs and agencies that are trying to combat domestic violence, this just gives us great pause. Like, how can this continue to happen?
That number, that whatever the number is, it's too much. But then when you add to it that it is the highest we've seen.
Yes.
When we are in the year 2025, when we should be having the tools and having the understanding of why things happen and to be able not to have a number go up but actually go down, I know this will be a hard question, but I'll put it simply, why? Why in 2025 are we seeing that number actually go in the wrong direction when we have information?
Right.
You've been, as you said, you've been in this work for three decades. Why, based on what you've learned over these years, are we not seeing that number go down and, in fact, going up?
I think part of it is, that's kind of the million-dollar question if we could figure that out, but it's the complexity of domestic violence. So there still is a tendency for people to blame victims, and there's still not an incentive for people who cause harm to change. And that's, you know, the focus on letting, and literally we let people get away with harming someone that they claim to love. There is a power dynamic in a household. The people who choose harm manipulate and control everything. They manipulate the systems, they manipulate law enforcement, they manipulate judges, and they keep getting away with that. They manipulate their families. So we really need to figure out a way that we can address people who cause harm. That's where we're going to get at the root cause.
Along that line, when you were just talking just a moment ago about where, lack of a better term, the blame goes, and we often hear the statement when somebody gets arrested and then gets released, we always hear, well, it's really hard because for then .. whatever reasons right. It may be in order to ultimately prosecute. It feels as though that's an excuse, isn't it? Because the percentage of, we've seen studies, the percentage of false reports are incredibly low, and yet the percentage of arrests that ultimately don't even get to trial. They get arrested, they spend a night in jail, and then all of a sudden, well, we don't have the evidence to proceed. How does that change? Because that seems like maybe one of the core problems is when there's no accountability,
right?
Then you get back into the same situation, then the cycle continues, doesn't it?
I mean, one of the things that can of the complexities is the criminal legal system isn't necessarily the answer to get people to change.
Mm.
So, you know, when mandatory arrest came into place for domestic violence in Wisconsin, there was a sense that this was going to help curb the problem. And I don't think we've seen that play out. There is a tiny bit of accountability, but what we see more in the criminal legal system is people who use power and control manipulate the entire system and continue to be manipulative and continue to harm and hurt their family members, and they use the legal system to do that. So in the big scheme of things, we need to find an alternative to that punishment cycle because it hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
What it does do is in that moment, it protects victims from being killed. So when it's a very violent situation, law enforcement comes, someone is taken to jail, that keeps someone safe for however long that person is in jail. But it doesn't provide any incentive for that person to change. We've just not seen that work. So we have to look at some different ways that we address people who cause harm, that we look at the entitlement to people who say, I can do whatever I want, regardless of how much it hurts someone else. Mm-hmm. You're going to do what I say. And if you don't, then I'm going to hurt you. If I can't have you, no one will. That's kind of the mentality. That's what leads to domestic violence homicides. So we need to find some ways to address differently. What we've been doing is not been effective enough. It's been a Band-Aid. But there's some real deeper issues in our society and in our culture that we support people who cause harm, and we make excuses for them.
We will have more with Jane Graham Jennings, Executive Director of the Women's Community, at 7:22. More of Pack Right Low next on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The last living 20 hostages held in Gaza are savoring freedom. Names of two of the four dead returned have been revealed. As for the other 28, CBS's Deborah Patta from Jerusalem.
According to Israel's hostage envoy, a multinational force will be tasked with locating 24 more still in Gaza that have not been returned.
On his way back to the White House, President Trump told reporters on Air Force One, Democrats are responsible for the government shutdown now in day 14.
They want to have health care for illegals that have come in. Many of these people are criminals and they want to have health care.
Hurricane force winds and ravaging storm surges blamed for one death in Alaska. Two people are missing. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
The remnants of Typhoon Halong walloped the coast of Alaska, at least in the southwestern section of the state. In some places, the storm surge was so large it beat the old record by 2 feet.